Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, and let me explain some things to you. If you're taking notes, and you should always take notes because the Word of God is a seed. 1 Corinthians 12, starts at verse 8 and goes through verse 10 and then jumps back to 28 and 30. But the whole passage talks about how you handle spiritual gifts and actually mentions spiritual gifts. And Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 mentions spiritual gifts. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 mentions spiritual gifts. And there are different kinds of gifts. We'll get into that. It's interesting. I had a person who was raised up in our church that's moved away. Went to college, was very successful, called me and said, "You know, Pastor Michael, I have this thing going on and I don't understand it. And I feel like the Lord told me to call you and that you would help me understand it." And so I'm having this conversation with someone, and it ends up they have the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. And God is speaking to them things that no one else knows. And they're obeying, and now God's trusting them with other things, and they're hitting it on the head every time they turn around. Pretty exciting to see how God uses us. Spiritual gifts. Let me say this. I know what I want to say. Last week, how many of you enjoyed last Wednesday? Man, I needed that. The Spirit just came down. I didn't even take up the offering. And that is an act of worship. It just came down and we just prayed. And I needed that. And I love it. How many of you love the pure, unadulterated move of God? Where it's not worked up, it just happens. And nothing wrong with stirring up the gifts that are inside of you. But one of the things that happened last week was there was a tongue. And then there was an interpretation of that tongue. Now there are people who say, who are cessationists, that that went out with the early apostles. That is a biblical error. It did not go out. They use the verse that says, you know, tongues will pass away and this stuff. But it also, when it says tongues will pass away, it says administration and knowledge is going to pass away. And those things have not passed away. Secondly, Paul in 1 Corinthians says, "I speak in tongues more than you all." And then he turns around and teaches how you are to have a tongue and interpretation in the New Testament church. And those were not the 12 disciples. They were the disciples of Paul who were going to take the church into the early church fathers dispensation. The age of the early church fathers. Irenaeus, Shepherd of Hermas. All of these old guys that you don't even know that aren't mentioned in the Bible. Most of them. Polycarp that came from Smyrna, that John 1. They all most certainly were charismatics, and believed in all of the gifts. It's interesting when you look at Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, 10, 28 through 30, Ephesians 4 and 11, you see a minimum of 12 gifts. No, I don't believe those are all the gifts. But if you read the Catholic Church says there's 7 of them. And they're going to have to change that because they leave out the supernatural gifts. And now there are 55 million tongue-talking Catholics, and they had to appoint a cardinal over charismatic Catholics 5 years ago. Somebody say amen. And my grandmother was a charismatic Catholic. That's how we got into the Pentecostal charismatic movement ourselves. However, spiritual gifts aren't just about being a charismatic, even though that's where the word comes from. So what you see in your handout is you see that it answers the question, what spiritual gifts? It gives you the biblical references for them. 1 Peter 4:10 is also listed in this one. Helps you to identify them, and we've already went through this. The ministry gifts that equips the church. The Bible says that if the church is going to be healthy, they have to have these 5 functions. It's got to have an apostle, somebody who starts things, somebody who's a visionary, someone who knows how to rally people, someone who can go into a town where there's nothing and start something. Those are my gifts. Then you have to have a prophet. You have to have somebody with the gift of intercessor. You have to have somebody that speak a stern word. You have to have an evangelist. You have to have somebody with a shepherd's heart, a pastor's heart, a shepherd of the people. And then you have to have a didasco, a teacher. Those are called the fivefold ministry gifts. These gifts are in the local church. I don't believe an evangelist has seven sermons and travels around preaching anymore, because even the culture is not conducive to that anymore. But an evangelist is stationary inside of a local church, and that these five offices are what we call full-time ministry in one form or another. Then it says we have manifestation gifts. And manifestation gifts are gifts where the power of God comes, like the gift of healing, the gift of miraculous powers, the gift of the word of knowledge, logos ginosko, the gifts of the word of wisdom, logos sophia. And then there's utterance gifts, like prophecy, hear the word of the Lord, you know. Gifts that are like tongues and interpretation. Now, gifts that are power gifts, like faith and healing and miracles. And then there's gifts of revelation, which I include in the first part, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, but the discerning of spirits. And then there are motivational gifts, where people can speak a prophetic word to you and you're encouraged, or people can minister or serve you, or people teach you, or they, the gift of giving, the gift of exhortation, administration, leadership, like Andy's got that gift, and also a pastoral gift, the gift of mercy. So I've listed these things very clearly to you. So now what I want to do is I want to dissect them. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and let me show you one of the first words. And I'm going to help you even before you go, if you've not already went, to Growth Track. Because in Growth Track, we give a spiritual gift test. And in Growth Track, we help people find their spiritual gifts, which is the job of the ministry gifts. The job of the ministry gift is to equip the saints for ministry. How do you know your pastors are doing what they should do? It's very simple. Pastors are effective by biblical functions of equipping the saints for ministry. Not to do all the work that burns them out, but to equip you to do the work of the Lord. That's the job of a fivefold ministry. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, start at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Listen, you can't find in the Bible where Jesus ever called the 12 the church. That's not a church. The church is an ecclesia, people called out, a polis in the Greek, a citizenry that comes to a meeting. That's ecclesia. So even though you're individual members, you're individual members of the ecclesia, the body of Christ. And God has appointed these in the church. Here it is again. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then the gifts of healing. And notice the word next. It's getting interesting. Remember what I taught you about hermeneutics? That when you read the Bible and you see a list, and it's a good list, it's in an order. And if you see a bad list, it's never in order. Like Galatians 5:19, the vices, the sins of the flesh are, and they just randomly mention them. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, and it is in an order. Well, look here. It says next, doesn't it? It says next, miracles, then gifts of healing. Notice it says next, and notice it says then. Helping, administration, various kinds of tongues. Underline the word administration. That word administration comes from this concept, and it means to organize. And I'm not going to rush through that this fall. It means to organize. It means to organization. It means direct. It means to implement plans. Direct. It means to implement plans. And if you like to organize things, and if you see something unorganized and it gets on your nerves, if you like to direct things, if you like to implement things, if you like to lead other people in ministries, the Bible says this is a spiritual gift. And the Bible says, now you got to understand, can you imagine an apostle without somebody with the gift of administration? There's a word for that, chaos. Billy, you've known me for a long time. I can create more work for somebody to do in 30 minutes than they got a year to do. You know why? Hey, I heard that. See, Charles, you don't even know what I just bought you for Christmas. For the church to hang outside on them poles. But anyway, speaking of, a visionary, an apostle, sees down the road, they see vision. But it takes the gift of leadership to do that. You want to know why churches split and argue? People don't know who they are in Christ. And what do we mean when we say people don't know who they are in Christ? It means they don't know their gifts. So this word, K-U-B, kubereses, kubereses is the word for administration. But do you know where that word comes from? It comes from the captain of a ship. And this word actually means to steer. To steer the ship. Now, you're going to have to change your thinking as a fundamental Baptist or an evangelical Pentecostal or somebody grew up in a church of 75 if we're going to grow God's house. Because this word says that there are people who have the gift of leadership that are full-time in the ministry, one in the fivefold, Ephesians 4 and 11, that their number one job isn't preaching. Their number one job isn't just to visit the sick, and it's all of our job to visit the sick. But the number one job of this person is to steer, to lead others, to implement ministries, to direct, to organize. And so what you find is that it guides and directs the people. It actually means to steer people to a goal or a destination. It actually comes from the Greek word, the captain of the ship. It doesn't mean, that captain's not accountable. It doesn't mean there's not a plurality of leadership, but it means he's the captain of the ship. It means you steer, and you have the gift of leadership. This word is used a lot for elders. And it's concerned with details, you know? Details. So if you like to organize and you like to direct and you like to implement, and if you walk into a place and it's chaos and it drives you crazy, you have to realize what makes you angry is a clue to what God has called you to heal. And if you don't get angry about something, if something doesn't upset you, and I don't mean show your tail, pardon the Hebrew, if you walk in and you see this place is unorganized, then you've got to realize that that ain't God calling you to gripe. That's God calling you to use your gifts. Ooh. You want to implement stuff. You love to lead other people. You like to be the captain of the ship, to steer, to have a destination, to reach a goal, to be details. Then God has given you the gift through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given you this gift. The Holy Spirit's given you the gift of administration. Somebody say amen. Now, let me show you this word. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:28, and there's this word there. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-O-U-S. Apostolos. Paul the Apostolos. There are people who will say to you that apostles are no longer an office today. I disagree. But let me tell you where they're correct. The office of apostle, like the 12 apostles, was limited to a number of men chosen by Jesus. You see it in Mark 3. You see it in Romans 1 and 1. You see where faithful eyewitnesses is to Jesus' ministry and his resurrection. You see that in Acts 1:21 and 1 Corinthians 9 and 11. You see in Galatians 1 and 1 where Jesus called them himself. These apostles were given authority to do many things and establish churches and write scripture and perform miracles. That office is done. There is no writing of scripture anymore. And God used these men in divine healing to confirm the Bible as the process of canonization was taking place. But what does it mean then to hold the gift of apostleship today? It actually means that they plant new ministries. They like to build things. In other words, if you like to build things, and then you build it and you get it up to maturity and then you get bored, you got apostolic gifts. It actually means to reach across cultures, to reach across cultures. This word apostolo, apostleship, actually means that you are able to organize, that you're an entrepreneur, that you're a leader of leaders. A leader, that's a good one there you need to put down. Leader of leaders. And that you see vision. And that you're a catalyst for movements or organizations. And one of the keys of people who have the gift of apostle, of an apostle, is they get really bored after they get something started. Now, that's my number one gift. I know who I am. That's me. But I have also had to mature in that gift and realize that as God used me as an apostle to plant a church, He also has called me to mature that church through the gift of leadership and pastoring. Okay? Now, but here's the point. It's not just about me. I just want to put a thought in your head. If you lead a Sunday school class, the first thing I would do if I were you is I'd get me five people. You're going to teach a Pulse class, I'd get me five people. And you know who I'd get? I'd get an apostle, somebody that likes to organize. I'd get me a prophet, somebody that likes to pray and intercept, the gift of intercession. I'd get me an evangelist, somebody that likes to win souls. I'd get me somebody that was pastoral, to do pastoral care, and I'd get me a teacher. And you have those five people in a nucleus inside the church under the authority of full-time ministry and accountable, you'll explode your class, your ministry. Because God has already talked about how He builds His church. Somebody say amen. Now, let's look at this next one. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And there's this word here called, let me write it in Greek, D-I-A-K-R-I-S-E-I-S. But there's a word connected to it that you don't see in the English. P-N-U-M-A-T-W. All right? Now watch this. Let me show you something. This word is actually the word for discernment of, and I didn't write the article, spirit, pneuma. In this case, pneumaton, spirit. Now, let me correct some misnomers. Lady walking in the church, super spooky, always very religious. I don't want to say religious, super spiritual. I got a bad feeling about her. You be very careful with those people. Because it's not just a feeling. That doesn't mean people don't have the gift of discernment. My mother has the gift of discernment, and every time I've argued with her about it, I've lost. Anybody know somebody like that? God done that. It's just terrible. It's a burden I got to wear, all right? There are people with the gift of discernment. I haven't always had the gift of discernment the way that I want it. I have the gift of discernment with rough people, drug addicts, prostitutes, people deep in sin. But I had a friend one time tell me that when it came to having the gift of discernment with Christian people, if somebody came to me with a cross and lapel pin on, they'd take me out in the middle of the lake and drown me. That's true. It's not as true as what it used to be. Because when you get older and you mature and you walk with God and your gifts, you just kind of learn a thing or two. Can you give me a wave offering in the house? All right, now let me tell you the rest of the story. When it comes to this concept of discernment, dikaresis, pneumaton, discernment of spirits, Let me tell you what this actually means. It means a lot of things. Number one, it's a Greek word that describes being able to distinguish. To discern. But watch this. Or judge. People who use that scripture says, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't judge. They don't even know the Bible. The Bible says you judge, but you're going to be judged by the way you're judging. And watch this. This discernment of spirit actually means you have the ability to appraise a person. You can sum them up. You know who you're dealing with. It actually means and carries with it the Greek understanding of an environment. You can walk in the midst of an environment and you can discern it. So it's not just about someone who says, but what's it, person? Oh, no, no. This gift has Sophia rooted all over it, wisdom. And wisdom is discerned through environments. Case in point, this week, a gift of the word of knowledge came to me, and it came to me at a time clock when I was by the copy machine in the church, and one of the employees in the daycare came by, and their burden entered into my spirit. I'm not trying to be super spiritual, and I can't talk about this on a Sunday because they wouldn't have a clue what I say. But I knew. I just knew. I knew there's a problem there. The same thing happened to me Saturday night at Walmart when I saw two members of our church walk by me and it entered into me and I knew instantly something's wrong. So the spirit of the word of knowledge, logos gnosko, which we'll get to, and the spirit of discernment sometimes works together. Now discernment, if I just go off on the word of knowledge and I just leave it to my own reason. Well, I think, well, you know, what's wrong there? Are they going to betray me? Or they hate me? Or they're my enemy? Or they're going to, there's something wrong there. No, no, no. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things of a good report, think on these things. Cast down every vain imagination that lifts itself up against the knowledge, the gnosko of God. And so I've realized since then, because God's orchestrated it, what was wrong in both situations. But when that happened to me, the devil had a heyday with me. Because all I could be able to do is, I've been given a gift of discernment, but I need the wisdom to judge the environment. And it takes wisdom to judge the environment. When God gives you a word, you don't go off half-cocked. You chew on it. You still got it 3 days later, God's speaking to you. If you just get up and you got a word every day, you need to stop eating Domino's pizza before you go to bed. Somebody say amen. Okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now watch this. It's the environment. It has the ability to distinguish spirits. Small s. The ability to distinguish spirits. Anybody ever been around somebody and you knew that there was an evil spirit on that person? You know what happens to me a lot? I'm telling you, I'm really out on a limb tonight. I'll be somewhere in a restaurant and somebody will walk by me and I'll know that they got sexual perversion. And I'm not just talking because they were effeminate. I mean, they just walk by me, and I know it. I sense it. I feel it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can I see hands? I know it. I just know it. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Davis? I know it. I know that there's a spirit of perversion, a lewdness on them. I know it. Last night, I came in here and I got here about 7 something in the morning and I went and took Aiden to a softball game. I got a chapter doing my PhD. I got Christmas. I got 152 sermons I'm trying to get done with marketing for the next year and a half. I got all this stuff I'm trying to do. And so I had to do some additional research on my PhD work and I thought, finally, I'm going to get here. Because I had all kinds of ministry things I didn't plan for. And so I get there last night in my office, and God tugs on my heart. And it was almost like I could feel him pulling me. You ever been pulled by God? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just pull. It's a pull. And Kenny, I thought, oh God, no God, I got homework to do. That's what I want to tell God. I got homework to do, John. And they don't play, you know. And September 23rd means September 23rd. But I knew God kept pulling me. And I walked in here and I prayed for every chair you're sitting in. I walked in here and I laid on those drums. I stood in every place where somebody sings and every instrument. And me and God, boy, we had church in here last night. That's the spirit of discernment. Not just an evil spirit, but being able to discern the voice of God. Now, God spoke something to me recently that didn't make any sense to me. Didn't make any sense to me at all, but I know I heard him. I know I heard him, just like I know I hear him when I stand in front of you at an altar call, and I'll say A, B, C, D, F, G. And I don't know how I know it. I just know it at that moment. The word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. And you just know it. And these gifts help you to also know when God's pulling at you. Let me tell you, let me give you great advice. When God says it's time for you and him to pray, it's time for you and him to pray. And there ain't nothing on your agenda more important than that. Somebody say amen. Now, with that understanding, that discernment of spirits is to distinguish, to discern, to judge, to appraise a person, the environment, the ability to distinguish spirits. It also means and carries with it the idea that you recognize the influence of God. This is a Greek letter for God, Theo, or Satan. That you know the difference between the two spirits and you recognize it. But it also means that there is a check to the prophecy. So people who are immature in this gift go off half cock and they stir up trouble in a church going, you better watch this girl. Something ain't right about her. I had a dream. This Greek word actually means that the discernment of the spirit requires a check. And the check goes all the way down to the environment where there is a wisdom taking place and you're sorting through it before you make a judgment about someone. All right? But it also means that you interpret and explain the revelation. So it means you interpret and explain the revelation. Interpret and explain. In other words, it doesn't just mean going off half-cocked. You better watch that man. Hey, listen, God, I got a bad feeling about him. And I'm not saying you ignore those things. I'm just saying you got to have wisdom before you spit it out. And you got to make sure that the check in your spirit and the wisdom and the judgment and the environment that you're talking about is clearly comprehended to the point that that discerning of spirits is able to interpret what God is saying to you and explaining it to other people. In other words, all of these gifts require maturity. Now, let me get on my soapbox, and I'm not talking to you. But why I'm teaching so much about roots is because the only way to build a church that's going to bombard the gates of hell is for Christians to grow up and mature, and you can't mature without roots. Amen? But you can't mature in the gifts without roots, and that's why too many people who have no roots walk around with the discerning of the Spirit or as an apostolos or as the gift of administration, and they go and they start stuff and they never finish and they never mature, and the first time there's a church problem, they get mad, split the church or go off somewhere else, and they have to go start all over, and the church never matures. You cannot have a spiritual gift without it maturing in your life. The discerning of the Spirit takes roots. Apostolos takes roots. Kubernos takes roots. It takes roots to be a captain of a ship. It takes roots to be an apostle. It takes roots to discern spirits. To discern spirits. And so you have to be careful when you have the gift of discerning. Because it's not just about how you feel. It's not just about, oh, you know what? I got a hunch that this person's a nut. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm saying that you must mature the gift of discernment, and that the gift of discernment has checks and balances, one in which it is your ability to read your environment and then judge by wisdom people to the point that there is in you're able to interpret and explain what God has showed you that no one else knows, and then that also you're accountable, because when it says in the Greek, and it means to check the prophecy, it means you're accountable. It's accountable. And how can you be accountable without roots? Somebody say amen. It also means to test and to weigh. It means to test and to weigh. To test and to weigh. I had somebody tell me years ago that somebody else was a scoundrel. That they were a drunk and they weren't really Christians and all this stuff. And what would happen if I ran off and just acted on that stuff without having wisdom and environments and checks and balances and maturity and roots? What would happen? Let me tell you what would happen, Billy. We'd have the churches we got in America full of, that were the goofier and a tree full of hoot owls. We, listen, our chickens have come home to roost in America. And the answer is, and I'm watching the body of Christ arise and say, no, the answer is a mature church. A mature church with wisdom, where the gifts of the Spirit are not held in suspect because no one has any maturity in their use. But when the mature people begin to lead the church and the church gets mature, the gifts of the Spirit will rise, and ain't nobody going to go, I don't know whether that was God or not. You're going to know miraculous powers are in your midst. You're going to know that they read your mail. You're going to know that there was a word of knowledge. You're going to know that there was a word of wisdom. You're going to know nobody, and there's no way in the world anybody knew what they told you. Impossible. And when you root that gift in long-term roots, and you root that gift in a healthy church led by the fivefold ministry, and you root that gift where there's checks and balances and long-term people working in that gift where they're accountable, then you know what happened? The church explodes and you get spiritually healthy. Somebody say amen. It gets excited, but it means you test it and you weigh it. And so when they told me about that person, I tested it and I weighed it. And I looked at their character. I don't care what people tell me. I don't pay a bit of attention to what somebody says to me. I watch them. Can I get a witness, my dear? I watch them. I don't care how loud they shout. I don't care if they don't shout. I do care if they don't shout. I don't care. I watch what they do, not what they say. There was a guy, I got to be careful here, very, very, very well known in our area. And you know the first thing that person said to me when they started coming to our church? God sent me here to be your armor bearer. I've never told that. Number one, I don't have armor bearers, and I'm not going to have an armor bearer. We have the gift of helps, the gift of ministration. We have the gift of security for not me, for you. And then the help, if somebody needs help, they help me go, okay, go get my mom because she's lost a son and this girl's lost a son. Go get him. Okay? But I just watched them. They told me that and I just watched them. I knew they were not full of the Spirit, so you might wonder. And sure enough, their life has bared that out more than I ever imagined. The Bible says that gifts require maturity. We think we just go off half-cocked with the gift of discernment. And the gift of discernment, you wait till you get to the rest of them, is actually rooted and grounded in testing and weighing something. testing and weighing something. It also means to ascertain something. It means that you have the ability, and listen, let me tell you what's missing from the church. Man, you want to talk a gift that's missing from the church is this one right here. And in most charismatic, too many charismatic churches around the world and in America, it's goofier than a tree full of hoot owls, and a bunch of people say they have the gift of discernment, and they ain't got nothing but bowel problems. Amen? I said amen? But this means that you have the ability to ascertain. Now let me tell you something I don't know if I've ever told you. In the last 7 years, I've turned down 3 churches, all of which run over 5,000 people. The one Jensen Franklin's at right now, I turned it down. There's a church that runs 5,000 in Cincinnati, I turned it down. You have to know what God's called you to do. Somebody say amen. I had to say that so you don't think I'm saying this out of insecurity. But the greatest problem in the body of Christ right now is that you have a bunch of immature people who are pastors who don't know the word but know how to draw a crowd with a 20-minute message that itches your ear. They understand business models, and so do I. They understand. I got a bachelor's or a doctorate in the School of Business. My doctorate is not in theology. They understand organizational leadership. They understand all of that stuff. They don't know how to exegete the scriptures. They don't know how to hermeneutically break the Bible apart. And they sure in the world don't know how to interpret the Bible and teach it to you. And so they teach things that are pablum and full of, it itches your ears, just like the Bible prophesies in the last days. Now, how do you know that, Pastor Michael? Because the gift of the discerning of spirits is the ability to ascertain whether someone is right or wrong in the presentation of the gospel. It actually means they know, Sister Davis, they know what they're hearing is the wrong gospel. And I wish to God I didn't have to pastor in the last days. And I wish to God I didn't have to pastor in the days of where there'll be a great falling away. And I wish I didn't have to pastor in the last days to where people would go to where their ears are itched. And they were so biblically illiterate, they don't know the difference between Malachi and Malachi, and I'm not even out of the pulpit or with the pastors yet. The Bible says that the gifts of the discerning of the Spirit helps you to understand. I hear, there's a famous preacher, and I hear all kinds of preachers condemn him. His daddy was a saint, and I like him. I like him. Want to know why I like him? He's a soul winner. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. So if I was another preacher, I'd be real careful about what I said about him. I'd be real careful about calling him a charlatan or calling him a false prophet. Anybody who wins souls is wise. Now the fool that wrote the book, Kissing, Dating, Goodbye, who pastored 20,000 people and walked away from Jesus publicly a month ago. Isn't it interesting that he had to walk away from Jesus publicly? If you're going to walk away from Jesus, just keep your mouth shut and do it privately. Why did you have to do it publicly? You think about that. Why did he do it? And he's not the only one. There's been 2 or 3 in the last 6 months. Why'd they do it publicly? Why do you think they do it publicly, Billy? I'll tell you why. They want attention. They want attention. If they didn't want attention, they would have never done it publicly. They would have done it privately. They wanted attention. And so maybe the ministry wasn't about God and Jesus and people. Maybe it was about them and their kingdom. And the Bible says what the church needs in the last days are for people to stand up who are mature, who have roots, and stand up with the gifts of the discerning of the spirits and know when the gospel is being presented in the wrong way. And know when it's being presented in the right way. That's the gospel. That's not the gospel. And I'll tell you this, and I've told you this before, but it fits right here. I'm going to tell you. I got a friend. He's got a PhD from Cambridge. He's one of my closest friends. Matter of fact, his church and our church are all going to Israel 2021. And another church, actually. But he is on a board where preachers have to come and get their license in his denomination. And a PhD from Cambridge. Cambridge is the hardest university in the world to get in. Okay? And he gets a PhD from there and graduates summa cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lottie. Somebody say amen. I go with Ryan to these ancient sites, and he reads the rocks like I'm reading English. I mean, he's just brilliant, but he's spirit-filled. And there was this woman, it has nothing to do with gender, there's this woman who came up. And so they have to interview you, and you take a test, you do all this stuff, but they interview you. And so everybody on the interviewing board, before you get your license to become a pastor, and its denomination has got millions of people in it, they all ask you a question, so you have a verbal interview. And so Ryan's question is, what is the gospel? And this woman stands up and says, the gospel is the blue color in every carnation. The gospel is the air in which we breathe. The gospel is the grass underneath our feet. The gospel inhabits the whole world and goes on with this diatribe. And Ryan, who's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life, stood up and said, no, 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 no. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And this God, who was a father, sent his only begotten Son to earth, and he came down, and he lived a sinless life, and he was crucified on a cross. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, taking the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. And he has reconciled the world, and yea, no sinner has to go to hell, because God sent his Son, and the gospel, the good news of God, has inhabited the earth. Somebody say amen. That's the gospel. Somebody lift your hands and give him praise in here. Blessed be the name of God. Blessed be the name of God. The discerning of the Spirit boils down to who has the gospel articulated or not. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. But that's what happens when the gifts are released. Not the goofy gifts. Not the gifts without discernment. Not the gifts without a check. Not the gifts without testing. Not the gifts without weighing. Not the gifts without roots. Not the gifts without accountability. But when the people of God mature and they know how to take the word and know right from wrong by using the word of God, let me tell you something. There will be a last day revival in this world, and there'll be an awakening before we see the coming of the Son of Man. And that is the plan of God, to reawaken the gifts in the church again. That's prophetic. That's exactly what you're hearing right now. And the only way that's going to happen is for you to get roots, and you to find your gifts, and you to get working in them. And then for us to be patient and kind as you work in your gifts. I have the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. That is where you speak in tongues out loud in assembly, and then there must be someone like a Sister Davis who has the gift of interpretation of tongues. I don't want you to think gifts are just supernatural, but that's where we're at tonight, okay? The first time God gave me that gift was at the Western Kentucky Dream Center when it was the church I attended. We got big plans for that, but every time we turn around, something happens. And now we had a huge water. But how many of you know we're going to finish the vision? Somebody say amen. And the first time God gave me that gift, I was maybe 18 years old, 19, and it scared me to death. I was petrified. And I remember holding my tongue and biting it, and I got stammering lips like Isaiah talks about. And I either knew God was going to win or I was going to lose. Those were my choices. And I tried my best because my heart was, God, don't let it be my flesh. Don't let it be me. And I realized that's a foolish prayer. It is you. It is you as the Spirit enables you to do it. And I finally couldn't hold it anymore, and it just went out like a thunder. And someone interpreted it, and someone said, that's for me. And another one went to the altar and got saved. One act of obedience is all it takes. And maybe your gift isn't tongues and interpretation. Maybe your gift isn't word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Maybe your gift is a gift of helps, like Andre, who cooked steaks all afternoon Saturday to send somebody to preach the gospel in another country. And that's just as important as my gifts or her gifts. I've sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in here. He's a good God. He's kind. And he's wanting to do some incredible things in your life. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise. We give you praise. God, this is not a perfect church. It's never been. But God, we're a sincere church. And we always have. I pray, God, that you multiply our numbers and quadruple our maturity. And let people who love you mature in their gifts and get deep roots. And don't let the gates of hell prevail against us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.